Welcome to another bonus episode of the Jam Pack Report today for June the 14th of 2023. My name is Samuel Adams, and on today's show, we are digging into the Ubisoft Forward presentation shown off as a part of Summer Game Fest, and there is a lot to break down here. And what's amazing is that we are watching Ubisoft go from a point where they were about to be acquired in a hostile takeover to where they could be one of the best publishers in the industry, if these games are able to deliver. So we're going to be talking about Star Wars Outlaws, we're going to be digging into Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, X-Defiant, plenty of big announcements, and of course, you know your boy loves some Assassin's Creed. We've got the Assassin's Creed 3 statue over there, so we've got to talk about that one. And without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. To help structure today's conversation, I'm going to be using Brittany Sperlin's article over on the Ubisoft blog that digs into all of the biggest announcements. Now, these are not going to be in order as they were presented at the show, but what I would consider to be the biggest news out of everything that was shown off, which starts with Star Wars Outlaws. And this is one that was a shocker during the Xbox Game Showcase on Sunday, because I didn't expect to see it there, but even larger than that, I didn't really expect to see this game in general, because we had heard that Ubisoft had been working on some kind of Star Wars project, but it was unclear how far along the project was. We know how Ubisoft can be, looking at Beyond Good and Evil 2, that could have been a project that was completely off the rails, much like Beyond Good and Evil 2 is, which, by the way, we still didn't hear anything about. You're never going to get that game. However, Star Wars Outlaws looks like it's very far in development. We're talking about a 2024 release year, so not soon, but not too late. And on top of that, a good amount of polish has been put on the gameplay. We got a significant chunk of the world that we're going to be experiencing. I mean, at least one solid level that had no hitches, no hiccups. It looked very, very good. And so seeing how far along Star Wars Outlaws is gives me faith in what Ubisoft is presenting, because we are no longer looking at games that are so far out they could change, development could shift, all of that. We're looking at things that seemingly have a pretty good amount of polish on them. And so the official write-up says the first Star Wars Outlaws gameplay debuted during Ubisoft Forward, giving us a brand new look at the cunning scoundrel Kay Vess and her companion Nyx taking on a high-risk, high-reward mission. The two must infiltrate a secret location, use stealth, fight with a blaster, and steal valuable goods. Once you've watched the action play out, watch our gameplay walkthrough breakdown where Star Wars Outlaws narrative director, creative director, and game director go into deeper detail on the characters, locations, gameplay mechanics, Kay's ship the Trailblazer, and more. So if you want to go deeper, there is plenty to dig in on, but the game is launching on Xbox Series X, S, PS5, and PC in 2024. Now, if you want something that's coming out a bit sooner, Assassin's Creed Mirage is on the way, and it launches on October the 12th, and I have talked about this one extensively. I've made tons of YouTube shorts, I've talked about it on podcast, but this is going to be a return to form for Assassin's Creed. It's getting away from the big open-world RPGs of Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla, and it gets back to the roots of what Assassin's Creed was, with games like Assassin's Creed 2, Revelations. If you like that old-school Assassin's Creed feel, Mirage is going to be the game for you. The official write-up says Assassin's Creed Mirage launches on October 12th for Xbox Series X, S, Xbox One, PS5, PS4, and PC. The story is set in 9th century Baghdad and centers on the young version of Assassin's Creed Valhalla's Bassem, a common thief haunted by visions. Bassem soon starts a journey to become a master assassin, mentored by the Hidden Ones. In homage to the first Assassin's Creed, Mirage emphasizes stealth gameplay with classic tools like throwing knives and smoke bombs, as well as new abilities like Assassin's Focus, which lets Bassem take down multiple targets in rapid succession. And the cool thing about what was shown off during the Ubisoft Forward presentation is that it was a big chunk of gameplay, the first true gameplay that we had seen of Assassin's Creed Mirage. And we had gotten a gameplay trailer that isn't just one of those pre-rendered cutscenes, it was showing off small little snippets here and there, but this was an extended piece of gameplay that shows how we are going to be playing the game when it launches in the fall. And it really is capturing a modern version of that original Assassin's Creed. Much slower, combat feels like that classic Assassin's Creed, it isn't going to be quite as meticulous, and the fights aren't going to feel quite as individual, I suppose, is the best way to put it, where you are having to focus on one enemy at a time. This is something that is going to be fast-paced, but also slows things down to where you have to plan your execution for each individual mission or assassination that you're trying to complete. So this is something that I hope sets a precedent where we have the new big open-world RPGs like we're going to be getting with the Chinese Assassin's Creed that's coming out in a couple of years. And then we also have these old-school Assassin's Creed games that could be smaller, more condensed experiences, potentially, that are budget titles, but that do cater to those old-school fans that miss this kind of experience in the world of Assassin's Creed. So, very much so looking forward to this one on October the 12th, and this is going to be, once again, a day one pickup for me. Then we get to Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, and we got a first big look at gameplay for this one in the trailer. Actually impressed me. Now, I am not a big Avatar guy. This one is not going to be a day one pickup for me, but I put out a YouTube short on this one as well, and a lot of people started saying that it looks kind of like Far Cry, because this is an open world Avatar first person shooter. And so you play as one of the Na'vi that was taken as a child, captured by the RDA, and you wake up, and now Pandora is a fully different world. You have to reconnect with your clan, but you also had military training during your time with the RDA, so you can use their weapons on top of the bows and spears of the Na'vi people. So lots of gameplay variety already out of the gate, but I'm very impressed with how big the open world actually looks. The game takes place on Pandora's western frontier. So this is a fully new continent that has never been seen in any of the Avatar movies, meaning you get an entirely new experience, and James Cameron, of course, was shown off talking about how excited he was to work with Ubisoft, probably because of the amount of money that they're paying him. But nonetheless, Avatar Frontiers of Pandora isn't going to be a 10, in my opinion. I think the gameplay still has a couple of little elements here and there that show some cracks in the wall, where they need to kind of patch that up before it makes its big debut on December the 7th. But this is way better than I thought that it would be. And I think that for Avatar fans, this is going to be a no-brainer, because this is the first true big, huge-scale Avatar game that we've gotten. And think about the potential of having an entirely open world section of Pandora for you to explore as one of the Na'vi, with all of that mobility, with all of these weapons. It just sounds neat. And of course, the big fights in Avatar are always visually impressive. I'll also say, the small little cutscenes with your character that were shown off in the game look really good. Now, I'm not saying it's movie quality, because Avatar pushes the boundaries of what movies, even consider to be possible in 2023, but nonetheless, it looked pretty good for a video game, so I'm pretty impressed with what we're seeing for Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. At the very least, much more impressed than I thought that I would be. So keep tuned for more info on that when it's launching on PS5, Series X and S, PC, and Luna on December the 7th. Then we get to X Defiant, and I've talked about X Defiant before. I made an entire video on X Defiant as well, but this is one that has shocked me since the most recent beta test, because when I played the game a couple of years ago, I was not super impressed with it. The gunplay felt like it was just trying to copy Call of Duty, and if you like that Call of Duty arcade-style gameplay, X Defiant is going to be a game for you. But this is now a free-to-play game that mixes in elements of Overwatch, where you have the abilities on your hero system. That kind of thing has been integrated into the game, but it also is a skill-based shooter. It is something where you run and gun. You've got to know the maps. You've got to know your plays. It has a lot of elements that could make this a very unique and interesting competitive side or competitive game that I could see a scene kind of building around. Now, community adoption is a big element. The long-term support for the game, what do they plan on doing? That's another big element, and we got some answers to that during the Ubisoft Forward. They write, X Defiant will launch later this summer on Xbox Series X, S, PS5, and PC. During Ubisoft Forward, executive producer Mark Rubin spoke about the recent closed beta period and shared a sneak peek at the game's Year One roadmap, which is set to include 12 new maps and 12 new weapons, as well as new game modes. Rubin also announced that X Defiant will have an open session later this month. From June 21st to the 23rd, players will have a chance to test X Defiant's brand new netcode by playing the fast-paced arcade shooter for free. Register at playxdefiant.com or follow at playxdefiant on Twitter for updates on all things X Defiant. So, first year, 12 new maps and 12 new weapons. That's a pretty significant amount of content. And the cool thing about X Defiant And also something that makes it a marketing tool is that the maps that are included and added are all from the Ubisoft universe. So we're talking about things that could be from Prince of Persia or Assassin's Creed or more maps from The Division or potentially the island from Far Cry 3. They can dig into this big catalog of venues that they've already created and rework them so that they can be added to the game. So that makes the development cycle, I would imagine, a bit easier. But on top of that, it's cool to be able to see these worlds that you've already gotten into brought back for X Defiant. You know, I love the idea of having a section of Far Cry 3 carved out, or even Far Cry 4 or 5, wherever, for X Defiant. That sounds really unique to me. So I love X Defiant. I cannot wait to dive in later this summer. And this is going to be a free-to-play shooter, so you can just dive in. I'm sure there are going to be like microtransactions, but all of them are going to be cosmetic, nothing performance-based. So stay tuned on this one. I'm very excited. Since I played that most recent beta, this has been, right now, my most anticipated shooter of the year, because Call of Duty is starting to get kind of old for me. I'm not a big Warzone guy. Apex Legends isn't my thing. It just is too much. So X Defiant is something fresh, something new, that brings in just enough complexity to keep me engaged, but enough simplicity to where I can just pick it up and run with it. And that's exactly what I need right now in my first-person shooter. We then move to Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown, which launches on January the 18th. And I'm impressed with this one because I've heard that it runs at 60 FPS on the Nintendo Switch. Now, don't take my word for that. You should definitely wait for gameplay whenever it comes out on day one. But based on the visual style, based on how much the game is doing, I could totally see that being the case. They write, Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown will launch on January 18th, 2024 for Nintendo Switch, Series X, S, Xbox One, PS5, PS4, and PC, and it debuted an animated trailer and a commentated gameplay walkthrough during Ubisoft Forward. So this is getting back to the roots of a classic side-scrolling Prince of Persia game. And it's a modern take on that, bit of a stylized approach. So if you're looking for something that's realistic, like the side-scrolling Assassin's Creed games that came out a few years ago, you aren't going to be getting that. But instead, this is something that, again, takes a nice little animated skew to it. And I like the way this looks. Not going to be a day one pickup for me, unless I'm in the mood for a platformer, then it could be a good one. But to see Prince of Persia come back, and it's not a remake, I think is something that's really important to define that, hey, Prince of Persia is going to be a part of what we bring going forward. We aren't just going to let it rot in the shadow of Assassin's Creed. We don't know what's going on with the Sands of Time remake. That's clearly not ready yet. Let's go ahead and put out The Lost Crown to just get some reinvigoration going for the Prince of Persia franchise. So you can dig into more gameplay around that. It launches January 18th, 2024. And right now, we have a ton of games coming out in September and October. Then November starts to wane a bit. That could be when we see Call of Duty. Sometimes it's sooner, sometimes it's later. But then we have a couple of games in December like Avatar. January right now feels pretty open. And so I think that could give this game an opportunity to kind of come out and take a bit of the spotlight. I could see this one popping off and getting some really good press for a couple of days, especially on social media and things like that. So like the release date, still want to see more gameplay and stuff, but this is one that I'll probably pick up on a sale sometime in 2024 just to play on the go. Might even buy it on the Switch. Who knows? Who am I kidding? I want those achievements. I am just a sucker for some good achievements. Assassin's Creed Nexus brings three adventures to VR. This was an interesting one, and I'm not a big VR guy, so we're just going to kind of touch on this. But you play as Ezio, Cassandra, and Connor, and based on the gameplay that we've seen, this is something that basically divides the kind of experiences you're going to be having when you get into the game. So you see Connor with a bow, you see Ezio with the hidden blades, and then you see Cassandra with a sword. And so that's basically your bow gameplay, your assassination gameplay, and your standard fighting gameplay. And they bring in some of these famous assassins as well. So this is coming out on the MetaQuest 2, MetaQuest Pro, and MetaQuest 3, and delivers gameplay that will, quote, put your stealth, parkour, and combat skills to the test. I mentioned Codename Jade a bit earlier. This takes players to China's first empire on the go. They write, Assassin's Creed Codename Jade is the first open-world Assassin's Creed game designed for mobile devices, and registration is now open for its first public test, taking place later this summer. Set in the 3rd century BCE, Assassin's Creed Codename Jade is set chronologically between Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Assassin's Creed Origins, and puts players in China during the Qin Dynasty. Considered the first Qin Dynasty? Probably Qin Dynasty. Not really sure there. Didn't do too well in AP World History. Consider the First Empire of China. Players will be able to customize their assassin through the Animus and undertake a new adventure filled with the historical intrigue, assassinations, stealth, and parkour mechanics that are hallmarks of the series. Alongside that mobile push, we also have the Division Resurgence, which I could read the write-up on, but this is a Division game on the go. I will pull out a couple of points here. Anyone can register now for the upcoming test phases, but players in Australia, Chile, Denmark, Finland, Netherlands, Norway, Philippines, Spain, and Sweden will be eligible for a regional beta running from June 13th to July the 24th. So that's when you're going to be able to not only give feedback in those regions, but also probably see some gameplay that makes its way online. But it's a free-to-play RPG mobile shooter. It's launching on iOS and Android. Not one that I'll pick up because my mobile experiences, I like things like Mighty Doom, I like things like Marvel Snap, where it is something where I can pick up and play for 5 minutes and then go about my day. The Division, I'm sure, is going to be divided into that kind of setup where it is something you can pick up and play for 10 or 15 minutes. But if I'm playing The Division, I would much rather have it on my big screen playing with a controller for an hour or two at a time where I can really get into something and start to grind a bit. So this is one that I think shows they are committed to mobile. I can already tell you I don't have a good feeling about The Division Resurgence specifically. Codename Jade could feel good. I just don't know what the legs on it are going to be, how many people are going to dive in. Considering they're both free-to-play games, though, I could see it having a pretty huge audience. Just depends on how fair the microtransactions are and how good the games really are. I think those are the two elements that really can bring people back for a mobile game. The Crew Motorfest is Forza Horizon, but Ubisoft, I guess, is the best way to describe it, and it comes on September the 14th. The Crew Motorfest is launching on September 14th when players on Xbox Series X, S, Xbox One, PS5, PS4, and PC can race their way through the island of Oahu and immerse themselves in a celebration of car culture. Whether it's speeding through the streets of Honolulu, careening down the side of a volcano, off-roading into a rainforest, or taking a relaxing drive along mountain roads or sandy beaches, the Crew Motorfest offers a lot of ways for players to explore the beautiful setting. It also offers a diverse fleet of vehicles for players to choose from, and its playlist features let you choose your own path through a selection of campaigns themed around different car culture experiences and driving styles, including American muscle cars, Japanese street racing, electric supercars, and more. I'm pumped for this one because I want Forza Horizon to have some competition, and even in the key art, you can see that's exactly what they're going for. You see the fast supercars, you see the off-road vehicles, you see the street cars, everything in between is represented here for Motorfest. And so this is one that I'm not sure I'll pick up as soon as it launches, but I could totally see myself getting into in the long term because nothing is quite like having just a good laid-back racing game. And if they can nail the feel of the cars, if they can nail the feel of the gameplay, then this has a huge potential. And The Crew is a franchise that stuck around for quite some time. I mean, they talked about The Crew 2, where it's been going for, I think, 5 years at this point, and they're still putting out new content. And so Motorfest is the next iteration of that. And if they have millions of players, which is what the guy said, still checking out The Crew, then Motorfest could have a nice life ahead of it. I think the key, once again, is to have a fun game with good gameplay. Because that's what makes Forza Horizon 4 and 5 stand out. The cars feel unique. They feel good. They handle well, and you can fine-tune and tweak the settings to get exactly what you want. But you don't have to do that either. They just have a good feel to them right out of the gate. And that's what's important for a game like The Crew to succeed in the long term. So whether it takes that arcade approach like a Burnout or whether it takes the more realistic approach like a Forza Horizon, I'm just excited to have a better competitor to Forza Horizon that's out there on the scene because, you know, competition's healthy and it's nice to see Ubisoft getting in on the action. Skull and Bones has a closed beta announced. No one cares about Skull and Bones. They had some people up on the stage doing a little musical number, but the closed beta launches on August the 25th for PC players. From my point of view, they want to get this one out the door. This is not a priority for them. They are ready to get Skull and Bones cut and gone. It could have some player excitement around it. Sorry if you're one of the people that are excited for this one. But I think they're checking this box and just getting that one off of the table so they can work on the next project. Then we get Just Dance 2024 Edition launching on October the 24th, not August. And they say you can get early access to Sail by AWOL Nation from now until June the 20th in Just Dance 2023. Wow. Netflix is getting a Captain Laserhawk animated series. This is based on Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. Not sure this is going to be the cyberpunk anime that we got last year, but it's something that was cool to see. The dude on the stage had some nice energy for it, and I'll probably end up checking this one out just because if you haven't played Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, you need to. If you're into synthwave music, it's one you got to check out. That kind of vaporwave 80s neon vibe, you should definitely see what Blood Dragon has to offer. But this is set in a cyberpunk version of 1992, and the show is an Easter egg-filled homage to the early 90s and features remixed versions of characters from several Ubisoft games. A Halo crossover is coming to Brawlhalla in the Combat Evolved Epic crossover launching on July the 12th. You can play as the Arbiter and, of course, also Master Chief in the game. And then finally, there is the Ubisoft Forward sale. You can dive in, check out some of the older games that are already out now, up to 75% off. They normally have a pretty steep discount on a lot of that stuff, I will say. And Ubisoft has had some pretty good games over the past couple of years. Nothing that really stands out as what you have to pick up. Like Far Cry 6, fine game. I'm thinking about Riders Republic, fun game there if you were into extreme sports. But the future is much more exciting. And so all of these things were shown off during Ubisoft's show. And my biggest takeaway, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, is that we are looking at Ubisoft right now turning the corner and getting away from the doom and gloom of the hostile acquisition from a couple of years back. They are proving that they have a plan. And that plan is to put out great games with some huge third-party partners like Star Wars. That's massive. And they're bringing it back. I think that focusing on your core games, knowing what people want with Assassin's Creed, bringing back that Prince of Persia with a nostalgic feel to it, but that also feels modern. All of those elements are coming together to build a future for Ubisoft in an area where they might not have had a future 5 years ago. We're watching a really nice comeback here, and I'm still waiting on stuff like The Division Homeland. I definitely want to dive into that one, the free-to-play Division game. That's probably going to be in 2024, and we kind of saw that coming because they did not mention it during their most recent earnings call and the projections for fiscal year 2023. Or whatever the fiscal year is right now that we're in, they did not mention that it's going to be coming out in that time period. So that's one that I still want more information on. Of course, we've got the outstanding projects like Beyond Good and Evil 2. Like I said, you're probably not going to see that one, if ever. You're not seeing it soon, but I like the direction Ubisoft is going. They've got lots of good games on the roster. This showcase was well put together, and throughout the entire thing, I was engaged. I was ready to dive in and at least check out everything that was shown off during the show. Even Avatar, where it is this big IP that I'm not super into, the gameplay spoke to me. It looked fun. There's some really good gunplay there. So I'm excited for the future of Ubisoft, and that's everything shown off during the Ubisoft Forward. Of course, that wraps up today's episode of the Jam Pack Report. If you missed it, I also talked about Summer Game Fest last week. We talked about the Xbox Game Showcase in an episode on Monday, so plenty of content for you to dive into. And I've been uploading TikToks and YouTube Shorts throughout the week talking about some of the biggest announcements and some news that caught my eye. So plenty of stuff out there for you to dig into. And then this weekend, I'll be talking about the Xbox Game Showcase Extended because there were some big announcements there, including some big Game Pass titles that absolutely got me excited. So you can look forward to that coming on Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. But until next time, thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the show. Hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your week. And as always, keep on playing.